What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 276, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not a lot. We're here on a Thursday night instead of a Wednesday, and it's it's a Thursday, and then it's a Friday for me because I'm off tomorrow from work. So it's I'm all messed up on my days.
Well, I was going to say, talking about Amazon, this is it this weekend Prime Day?
Oh, is that it? I think so. Or is it next? Is it the 21st?
Is it Monday? Oh, might be. Is it Monday? Look it up for me.
Prime Day 2021. June 21st and 22nd. So yeah, Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, Monday and Tuesday. I thought it was this weekend. I was like really pumped to buy stuff. Nope. But yeah, Prime Day. We usually always list our Prime Day deals on social media, so definitely stay tuned for that. Are you looking to get anything? Tech or
no? Not really.
Anything?
No, I'm not.
So we don't have a TV in the bedroom, which I like because I don't.
Yeah.
I like to like go into the bedroom to go to bed. So I'm not necessarily the biggest fan, but it's just like, they're so cheap. Like they already have the pre-prime deals already. And like, there's like a 55 inch, like maybe Toshiba, like smart TV with like the Amazon Fire TV built in or something. And it's like $329.
Yeah.
It's like stupid. Yeah, so it's like,
these are crazy cheap now.
Yeah, so I was looking at that. I might get another Echo just because the one in the living room, I'm guessing it's dying. Like, you ever have a speaker and it kind of like crackles? Like, it crackles. So, like, it's going bad. So, like, those are always half off or something like that.
I thought about it for a little bit and I was like, oh, you know, I'm sure there's something. And I can't come up with anything.
If I see stuff, like, I know I need some stuff for the kitchen and some other, like if I see it, like I'll go through Amazon and look at the deals. And if there's something like really strikes me, I'll get it. But
you know what you need to look for is a hard drive, unless you haven't, because you probably still haven't.
No, I did. So two died. So I replaced one. So I have three in there, but I need to get another one. But the crazy thing is, it's like, so we're talking about NAS hard drives and my NAS, one hard drive went bad. And then a second one went bad. Both WD Reds, so I was going to replace them, but I have like six terabyte drives, and the ones that go on sale are like 4 terabyte and 8 terabyte, like 6 terabyte six never goes on sale because like I set an alert for it for like the past like year and a half and it just never went off.
Of a common size.
But if that goes on sale, I might pick that up. So all Amazon products. So like Amazon has a brand called Salimo. I don't know what it's called, but it's like face wash and laundry detergent. Like if that stuff's on sale, like I'll get it just to stock up because it will be like, you know, 25-50% off. Like, why not?
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Stuff like that. But cool. But yeah, kind of, I guess it's something to look forward to next week. But This past week, we've had a lot going on. I've reviewed some really cool products. Actually, both of them are sitting beside or behind me this way. Like, really? I'm not good at this. Like, you know, one's right there and then the other one is right there. So we'll talk about those. But if you guys want to follow along with everything that we're going to be talking about in this episode, we actually have a lot because there's some really cool stories this week. You can follow along on our show notes page. It is linked in the description of the video. That has everything that we will be talking about, during this episode. So let's start things off with the Viotech GNV30CBXA. And I'm always going to say this. And I think it's like almost every brand minus a couple, like fix your product naming for these things. Like needs to be like Viotech and then like a brand name. So like this is like a gaming, so this should be like Viotech Gaming 30 or, you know, like Viotech brand name and then the screen size. That's it, right?
Yeah,
because like that's
maybe
what
the designator, if it's flat or curved, but that's about it, because like that's really what that product name is like. Yes. Oh, it's a gaming monitor and it's, you know, NVIDIA, you know, the NV and just all these crazy abbreviations. That's fine if you want that to be like your product number or your SKU or whatever, but give the consumer a better
name. So what I think is, like, again, they should have a brand designator. Yeah. So, like, just like with motherboards, you have ROG, you have Strix, and then you have, like, the mainland, and, like, you have, like, five or six, you know, different levels of products. That says they should do monitors. So your highest end one should be called something, then down. So, like, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, this is in this line. So, you know, as you become familiar with the brand, you know, this line features this, 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 and this. And then I know it's the 30 inch because it's, you know, 30. Yep. That's it. Yeah. But anyways, that's my rant on
that's for social media.
Yeah, we'll clip that one. So this is a 30 inch 200 hertz monitor, but the cool thing about it is that it is in a 21x9 form factor, so it is an ultra wide. So typically when it comes to ultra wides, you see, you know, like, you see them 34 inches or above typically, and they're kind of like, most of them are a mix between gaming and productivity. So
sure,
on most of the ones that I've, you know, reviewed and seen, like a 34 inch, it's like 144 hertz is kind of the max, you know, and it's not going to give you a lot of those gaming centric features per se, because it is an ultra wide. And the thing with the 34 inch ultra wide, because I've reviewed a bunch, and I mean, I'm on a 49 now, so it's even more dramatic. But when you're sitting in front of the screen, even on a 34 inch, you do have to move your head slightly left or right to see see everything on the screen. With this 30 inch size, it's 2560 by 1080. If you're sitting right in front of it, you can see the entire screen. So if you're a serious professional gamer, obviously you're looking at this monitor because it is 200 hertz. You know, you're playing super fast paced games. Like, moving your head just slightly is that little, you know, not even a second, like little millisecond of time that's between you dodging something or getting out of the way or getting that headshot and missing it. Like, so I think this is like, in the review, I said it's basically the sweet spot between, you know, it's really that sweet spot. If you're looking for an ultra wide, but you also are a serious gamer, like, this is that sweet spot where you're not losing anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, 30 inches is like quite a bit of real estate, and then 200 hertz is nothing to scoff at. So I agree. And it's not such a high resolution that it takes, you know, a 3080, a 3090 to run this thing at that high refresh rate. You can run this
I mean, I did run it on my 3080 Apex Legends, no problem at 200 hertz. You know, it does support 165, 144, and 120 and 60 on the DisplayPort. It does have two HDMI. The HDMI 2.0 supports up to 165 hertz if you did want to run it via HDMI. They only include the DisplayPort cable, but that's fine for me. But it's, like I said, it's a good monitor. Even at the lower resolution compared to like most 34s, like, you can still do side-by-side screens and you'll be fine. Sure. As far as productivity goes. And, you know, with a ultra wide, like 21x9, it's going to be really good for editing video or editing photos, you know, where you have like a bunch of things going on the screen. Like, that's what a lot of creators, even like a panel for streaming, like, you know, you can have a bunch of stuff up on the screen at the same time, which is really nice. Unfortunately, it still has the push button OSD menu. I just, ever since using a software one, I kind
of, or a joystick, right? The little.
Yeah. This has buttons on the back of the monitor, which are better than the buttons that I would say that are on the like bottom side of a monitor. Mm-hmm. These are on the back, on the right side, but it's just not the same as software. But overall, like, performance-wise, it did what it's supposed to do. It looked really good. Didn't have any real issues. It comes pretty well calibrated out of the box. It does have, like, you can add the crosshairs. You can actually add a timer to, you know, on that stuff. But I don't feel like those are, like, crazy in-depth features. But it looked good. It's a good monitor. And like I said, I I think it's that sweet spot for gamers who do want an ultra wide. You get the high, you know, high refresh rate. And again, if you're sitting right in front, you're not, you don't have to move your head left or right. The stand with it is fine. It allows it allows you to do all that. You can actually put the monitor in portrait mode, but it's a curve. It's 1800R curve on this, so it's not something that necessarily I would recommend, but you can still do it. This, unlike older Viotech displays, this does have the VESA mount built in, so you don't have to, like, I had a Viotech, and then when I finally got like a monitor arm, it used to have like these screws, and I had to like find the box and then see if I like threw away those like screws that you needed to basically make it a VESA mount.
Yep.
The VESA mount is built into the back of this now, so you don't have to worry about like, oh, where those screws go. As long as you have your VESA mount, you're good to go there. And yeah, it's $319.99, which I think is a very good deal for what you're getting.
For sure.
As far as the specs. And I mean, as most people know, Viotech monitors really are like the plain Jane monitor. There's no crazy, you know, RGB lighting on this. There's no software. There's no USB hub. There's no headphone holder. But at the end of the day, most people don't care about those things. They care about performance. If I want to add an extra USB hub, I mean, I can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I can put one, I can connect one to my computer. You know, there's not a multitude of ports on this. All you have is two HDMI, one DisplayPort, and an audio pass-through. That's it. But again, most people don't need multiple DisplayPorts or you know, they don't need that USB connection or anything like that. So I think, like I said, I think it's a great deal. And I think that a lot of gamers really are going to like enjoy this size. I think it's like this size and form factor is going to be really good for gamers. So, I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award because I think that again, at this price, I would definitely recommend it to a lot of people. And because of the form factor too, it can, like, if you're in like a dorm situation or, you know, apartment situation where, like, you know, you're sharing with other roommates, like your room is your room, and you might not, you know, be able to get both a TV and a monitor. This could be a good TV because it's form factor, because ultra wide form factor. So yeah, check out that review. And then that brings us to a completely different review this week, but something that I have to say that I wasn't like sold on these, and I've seen them, and I'm pretty big proponent of like healthy sitting, you know, like I have a standing desk. I actually made my own standing desk back in 2012. I do stand a decent amount at my computer. So I'm like a fan of that. And I know how sitting for long periods of time is not good for your body. It's just not. And we do it a lot, whether we're gaming, whether we're working. If you're sitting at your computer for long hours, even if you have the best, you know, Herman Miller, you know, super expensive chair, you're still sitting. And I think that you've experienced it. I know I have too, is like after a long day, you're tired.
Oh yeah.
You know, for sure. and you've been sitting all day, but you're still tired. So, this company called Fluid Stance reached out, and they make balance boards that you stand on while you're at your standing desk. And I have seen these, and I'm like, why would I want to put myself through trying to balance while standing, which is already more strenuous than sitting? And then I have to balance. And then if I'm balancing, how am I going to like be productive typing, like, you know, typing really fast or doing stuff?
Right. Is your movement doing those actions like going to throw you off and roll an ankle?
Yeah. So I was just like, whatever, I'll try it. Cause we've seen over the years, like with the lightweight gaming mouse, well, that was a big one for me, but like,
yep.
I like my opinion to be changed, by testing the products. I mean, that's what we do here. We review products. So I think that I was like, okay, I'll try it. And so they sent over their level, which is basically their first balance board from Fluid Stance. It was actually funded like 802% in 3 days on Indiegogo back in, I think, 2015.
Wow.
And it's a cool looking board too. They sent me like the ocean blue version, which
looks
like a surfboard. Like, it's pretty cool. So you have this really nice finish on the top. They have two other wood finishes that you can choose from. And then the bottom of it is made out of aluminum. They say it's military grade aluminum. And you can kind of see by the design here that it is kind of like, you know, there's all these holes cut out. So it's not kind of as big and clunky, but the design of it makes it so the center kind of goes out like this. And you obviously put your feet on each side and you balance. And I got it. I was like, this thing's awesome. Like, it's beautiful. It's cool. But like, how is it actually going to work? Right. And I mean, this is me sitting on it, or standing on it per se. And, you know, I'm like a board sport guy. So like, I've skateboarded, snowboarded, wakeboard. And I got on this and it was like effortless. And I don't know if that was because I played
the, you have that history. You
know, yeah. I have that history, but it was very easy to get on this and just, it was kind of natural almost. Mm. And I have to say that, like, you know, this just shows you the range of motion that you can get out of it, you know, but basically you're just standing on it and you're kind of rocking back and forth or forward and back, depending on kind of how you feel. And that basically gives you the same range of motion as you would be walking. The range of motion of this balance board is 23.98 degrees. Your range of motion as you're walking is 21.25. So they're very close. So what that means is that you're going to burn more energy than sitting, about 20% more energy, but it's not going to put a ton of stress, because if you're standing on something that's going to put stress or be hard, you're not going to use it, right? Yep. Like, you wouldn't use that. If this was something that was really hard to do, I wouldn't do it, you know, even standing. So like, so many times is because you're standing, and most of the time when I'm standing at my standing desk, I'd be standing still and then my legs would get stiff, right? So yeah, my legs
got locked or something.
Yeah. My legs would get stiff and I would basically stand for about like an hour and then my legs would be tired and I would sit back down. Yes, that's still better than sitting completely, but this makes it so I'm kind of sitting there, I'm kind of rocking back and forth, you know, and it just, you totally forget you're even on the balance board. You're getting that good range of motion, you're burning more energy, but it doesn't feel like you are. And now I don't think I could use a standing desk without this balance board. Like, that's how it's like, it's changed my standing desk experience tremendously. And it's, as I said at the beginning, like, it's not hard to type. I gamed standing on the balance board. Like,
wow.
You know, it's not, it, like, again, my mind was changed. And I think it was like 3 weeks ago, I posted the picture of this on my personal Facebook and somebody's like, why would you torture yourself? You know, why would you torture yourself on this balance board while you're trying to work? And again, you have those preconceived notions like, yeah, this is going to be strenuous. Like, why am I doing this? But it's not, it's just, it kind of just, you know,
that's cool.
It's
pretty interesting product.
Yeah. Again, my mind was changed. So if you're looking, if you are a standing desk person and you want to be, you know, basically, I think the thing that at the end of the day, I'm standing longer using this product.
Gotcha.
So in health wise, that's better for me. You know what I mean?
So I'm curious, is the middle of it, is it flat on the bottom or is it rounded all the way across? Like, could you like spin around on it?
Yeah, you can fully. Not what
you're supposed to do, but you could like turn.
You can fully do a 360 on
the kind of like swivel a little, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can do all of that stuff if you're bored. Like, I kind of like being a skateboard. Like, I used to skateboard. Like, I kind of like want to try like to do a kickflip on it. You know what I mean? Because But yeah, so you can move a full 360 degrees on this thing if you really wanted to. You know, so like I said, my biggest takeaway is that I stand for longer and it does feel less strenuous. Like, I'm not as stiff in a shorter period of time, you know? Sure. The only downside is because of its construction, you can't use this on hardwood floor. Obviously, it's going to scratch it up and probably ruin it. You would need a some type of pad. I believe Fluid Stance does make pads. If you know, if that is the case, I used it on carpet. It was fine. That's really the only downside. Now, this isn't a cheap product. It's $219. But I do feel like with anything, like if you, I always talk about getting a, if you're going to be sitting at your computer, get a really nice chair because it's going to help you. It's going to help your back. And even I've known, like after years and years of sitting for hours and hours and hours, you do get back problems and things like that. So $219, I think, is well worth it for the benefits that you're getting out of this. So again, I gave this a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award as well. Just a, like I said, just a cool product. And again, my mind's changed. I'm like, you know, I've learned something new and it's, you know, pretty, pretty cool there. So definitely check out that review. And, that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have, the name says it all. This is called Project Abstract from Liquid House. And it is abstract.
Yeah, for sure.
This is more of a show build, but I think the actual chassis thingy or this part is actually built by a company. Like a company makes this to display your something. But if you look at it, I mean, it's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it's got lines going every angle you can imagine.
Yeah. And they use like the fittings are really interesting. Like what would you call the
shape? They're very angular.
Yeah,
you know, like the 90 degree has like it has the your 90 degree angles plus some 45s. Most of the fittings we see, like Bits Power, EK, Alpha Cool, they're like on a 90 degree. It's a rounded bend most of the time, yeah. Right? Just those smooth lines, whereas these are just a more straight, hard edges, I guess you could call them.
Yeah, so it's just like I said, just cool build, mini ITX build, but it's just. It's just cool.
Yeah, and you have to kind of like, look at it for a minute to figure out, okay, how what's this loop order, right? If you just look at it at first, you're like, I don't know, is this even a loop? But yeah, it obviously is. The GPU is not a full cover block.
Yeah,
you I don't know if you saw that. It's just kind of covering
the actual GPU
itself. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that he has the screen. You can kind of see it right here.
Mm-hmm.
A little screen there too, which is pretty cool. It kind of looks like a little robot. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a really cool picture with the different lights and stuff. But yeah, just a cool picture, just a cool little build.
Transformer halfway through its transformation.
Yeah, they do have a video on YouTube if you guys want to check it out. Very cool stuff. But yeah, I saw this and I was like, wow, this is different because I do like we're used to the same type of builds, but this is very different. And very cool. So definitely go ahead and check this one out. And we have a new contest. So if you guys remember, we did 15 straight weeks of contests, which a bunch of you guys won stuff. But we teamed up with our friends over at Viper Gaming. That's Patriot's gaming brand. And we're doing our Summer Gaming Essentials giveaway. We are giving away a Viper V380 gaming headset, Viper V765 gaming keyboard, and Viper V570 blackout gaming mouse. Three different winners for each prize. So, or not three total winners. Three. How am I not saying this?
You'll start over. I don't know.
Yeah. There will be a total of three winners. One person wins the headset, one person wins the keyboard, and one person wins the mouse. Not three for each, if that makes sense.
There we go.
Super easy. Do it like we always do on Gleam. This is going to run till the 5th of July. So we're kicking off summer with Viper Gaming. So definitely get your entry in. Again, super easy. Yeah, some awesome gaming gear. You want to start.
Yes, is great.
Yes, you want to start out summer. I know a lot of you are going to get some cool gaming going on for the summer, and you want some new gear. So we're here to hook you up. So pretty pumped for that. And that brings us to news. And there's a lot of stuff going on this week.
You got a lot of news packed in here this week.
Yeah, so we'll try to get through it, as some of these are going to be quick, but we definitely want to talk about them. One interesting headline this week is that Intel could make GPUs for NVIDIA in the future. So we all know that there's a massive shortage of CPUs, GPUs, pretty much everything tech-related when it comes to that type of stuff. Foundries are overloaded. We already know that Intel is increasing capacity here. So is TSMC. They're all expanding their factories because of the massive demand for CPUs, everything, DRAM, everything. Like, there's just massive demand right now. Intel CEO said that, you know, they're not going to, in an interview, Intel said that we're not going to let TSMC and AMD combine to crush everyone, or TSMC to combine with Apple and do the same. You know, if you can't create product, like if you can't match the demand, people are going to go elsewhere, right?
Yeah, sure.
If I'm looking for, like I've been talking about this for weeks, if I'm looking for an Ultrabook and I can't find it, but there is a MacBook Air that I can get, you know, I don't have to wait months to get it. Right. I'm going to get it.
You're going to go that way.
If I'm building a new PC and I want to go Intel, I'm an Intel guy, but there's no availability of Intel processors. And there's this, you know, Ryzen 9 5900X, I can get it next day on Amazon. I don't want to wait months, especially with summer coming up and I have all this free time. Like, I don't want to wait months to do that.
Sure.
And the same thing with GPUs is the same thing. Maybe I want a 30 series, like I want a 3070, but I can't get it. It's, you know, but I can get, you know, what's the equivalent? Like this, the
6800.
Yeah, like this, I can get a 6800 on Amazon same day. I'm going to go that route, you know, so it is coming down to that. We have massive demand. We don't have enough capacity to do it. The companies that do, you know, AMD does have, as well as Samsung and Apple, they all have contracts with TSMC. And I think Apple for the next 2 years has 50% of TSMC's output capacity.
Yep.
They do. So,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, as those contracts keep on going on, you can only, 50%, you only have 50% more capacity
to work with everybody else.
Yeah. So you could see NVIDIA chips coming out of Intel foundries, you know, could happen.
It'd be kind of funny. Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting, I would say. Next, we have, I'm not sure if you guys remember, but a couple of months back, maybe even more than that, NVIDIA was like upping their production of 2060s because there was no supply of the GPUs for
the 30 series.
The 30 series. Just the wasn't there. So now that the demand is so high for the 30 series and they have a full product line now, you know, they're going to take the 2060 off of the production line and replace it with 30 series, which should open up, we would hope, would open up more availability of 30 series cards or get more out there.
I would have thought they would have done this a long time ago, though.
Yeah, but I think that there was only
I know. Yeah,
if you remember,
that's just how it feels.
Yeah, but if you remember, the initial problem with the 30 series is they did that initial, like, you know, with TSMC or whoever. I think TSMC, but whoever they did the order with, they did the order for X amount of GPUs, right? Mm-hmm. And then that I can't talk tonight. Production time is, you know, like 2.5 months, and then they have that first batch. And then by the time they get the next order and there's a gap, you know, and they had, I guess, 26, you know, they had the GPUs for the 2060s, so they could, they had the actual chips, so they could, NVIDIA could build them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
While they waited for that next order to come in. So now what they're doing is they have a more abundance of chips. So now they're going to take the 2060s off the production line and do it more 30 series. So yeah, I hope it gets, this massive shortage. I just hope it gets,
it's got to end sometime, right?
Yeah, there's people say it's not going to end until the end of the year, or maybe more than that. But we would hope that I have seen, like, on Reddit, people are like, "Yeah, I went to Best Buy and look what I found, and it's like a 3090, you know, at MSRP." So, hats off to everybody who can do that. But you know, this massive GPU shortage means that, you know, you could make use of old cards, right?
Sure.
So MSI has decided that they're going to re-release the GeForce GT 730. This guy right here. So they're re-releasing a card that came out in 2014, the GT 730. The whole reason they're doing this is because, you know, a lot of graphics cards eventually die. If you had a graphics card from 2015, 16, you know, they die. And now if your graphics card dies, say you had like a 980 or a 690 or something, like an older card.
What are you gonna
get? Yeah, right now you can't get anything. And if you're on a system that you can't get backed up by the onboard graphics of your CPU.
Yeah.
You're kind of out of luck. It does
make some sense, right? Like, to get you by. Yeah, you have an older system.
Sadly, it makes sense, which is the funny thing.
Yeah, like, okay, this diet. Typically, you'd be like, all right, what's available that's like current generation, right? I don't want to replace my whole PC. I'll just go out and get a new video card. And you're like, well, nothing's available, or I have to spend $1 million. Or buy this 730 and get by. Or, you know, maybe that's enough for you, right? Maybe you had the equivalent of that, and you just need a replacement.
Yeah, either way, I mean, so many people until now. Yeah, so many we don't realize, because I mean, especially me, like, I get a new system all the time, but so many people keep their computer for 8-10 years, and they just need a discrete graphics card. And the secondhand market, as you know, is horrible right now. You know, you're going to be paying more than what you did for the same equivalent that you bought 8 years ago. You know, so it makes sense. It's kind of sad, but it makes sense. It's only selling in Japan right now for $42. But it's expected to show up in other regions soon. Just, again, filling that gap until this shortage or whatever kind of gets figured out. So we shall see. On the more current GPU news, PowerColor did list a Radeon RX 6900 XT Liquid Edition without a picture. They kind of just put out this graphic with the product name, which means that the 6900 XT Liquid Edition is a real thing. We did see it from Sapphire. Now we're seeing it from PowerColor. So we're definitely going to get the card. And then also this week, we did get the specifications were leaked of the card. So a lot of times when it comes to these liquid cooled cards, they're the same as the reference, just with an AIO that makes them more cool, you know, both figuratively and literally. But it's typically the same reference card. But according to this leaked spec sheet, which is right here, it will be a different SKU entirely, factory, like from the factory. So your game clock is going to go from 215 megahertz to
2015. Yeah,
that's what I said, but I didn't. 2015 megahertz to 2250 megahertz, and your memory is going to be the same 16 gigabytes, but it is 16 gigabits per second on the reference. On the liquid cooled, it's going to be 18. So you get a increase there. Also, you're getting 10% more increase in power. So the TDP is going to go from 300 watts to 330 watts. But yeah, completely different SKU, which is, it's kind of uncommon. You don't see it as much, but out of the box from the factory, you're going to get higher clocks. So, and faster memory. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah. I've never been one to like look at or buy a like factory liquid cooled GPU. Not that I'd be against them.
Yeah, because one, the liquid cooled solution is just not great. I mean, look at this. Like, this doesn't look very cool.
Yeah, at all. It's not as
And like the ones that I get real excited about are the ones that have like the custom block for, you know, that aren't AIOs.
Right. Right.
You know, because all the AI solutions, they just don't look great. Yeah, they're just not my thing. So yeah, that is the graphics card news. Another big leak, and we've been talking about it for the past couple of days. First, Windows put out an update to their Windows 10 support lifecycle page, which they listed the retirement date for Windows 10 as October 14th, 2025. And if you remember, when Windows was launched, they said when Windows 10 was launched, they said that this is the last version of Windows. We're not getting any new Windows. This is the last one. Well, according to this, you're making something new. And with our next story is that a Windows 11 Pro ISO was leaked. And a lot of people have been playing around with it. If you go on Twitter, if you go on Reddit, you can see a ton of screenshots. Huh. Windows 11 is real, and it's sure. likely going to be announced. I think they said the 28th of this month, or the 26th, 28th. But it, I mean, the screenshots that have been leaked are not. I mean, let's see.
What don't you like about it? Now, the thing that I don't like, and hopefully this changes or you can adjust it, is it feels awful Apple-y with that bar at the bottom in the middle, right? Put my start button back in the bottom left and I'll be happy.
Yeah, so you can move this over. That's already been said. Okay. I don't like the rounded corners. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Where's like, also? Unless that's is that the start menu?
I don't know.
Right, there's no X in the corner, so I'm assuming that's the start because there's power down in the bottom like right.
This is a early version, obviously. Yeah. Now, what do you think? Like, so what's the idea? My biggest question is, what's the idea of not calling this Windows 10? Like, why are we making a new operating system?
I think they assumed when they made that comment, or the one person made that comment, was we would move to a subscription. Like, it's always changing, almost an online operating system, right? That you don't really install other than at the one time. And they just keep building upon, and it kind of morphs, right? Almost like an operating system as a service.
But like, remember like that big Windows 10 update, like the 2H, whatever, like that was the big one where we got a lot of changes. Why couldn't they roll this? I mean, obviously, I assume there's stuff on like the back end level that's much different. But like, I mean, on the visual side, why couldn't this be a Windows 10?
I know. I'm happy that they're going forward with 11. I never thought that like 10. I always figured in the back of my mind, like, it's not always going to be 10. We're going to get an 11 at some point, or they'll call it something else, whatever it is. I think it's too much of a shift, like with the look of what we're seeing so far, to keep calling it 10.
Why though?
You know, in addition to,
I'm just hung up
on the look. Like, I look at Windows 7, I'm like, I can tell that's a 7 box, right? I look at 10, I can tell that's a 10. Looking at this, it's like, well, it has some looks of 10 to it, right? And I think people do get caught up on that a lot.
I think we should just call it Windows and
just call it Windows. And are you running the current version?
Yeah. But that's me. I mean, I like reimagining the operating system. Like, that's always good. You know, obviously if you look from where we've come to where we, you know, like, do you, you know, there's been some really bad iterations of Windows.
Sure.
So I like it. I mean, when did Windows 10 launch?
2014 or 2015.
Okay. So I guess we're due for a new one. I mean, obviously, and again, Windows 10 has been updated every Tuesday for since then.
Yeah, July 29th, 2015.
Yeah. So yeah. If you guys want to see more, The Verge has a bunch of tweets and stuff on Reddit. Running the ISO, I guess there's a new jingle or chime whenever you know, like the login thing and all that stuff. You guys can check all of that out. But I believe
that used to be such a big thing that you would like customize, you know.
I believe this ISO is very easily found from what I've heard. So if you want to check it out, you can easily download the ISO. Yeah, you could probably find it. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. Pretty big news. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool stuff there. What else do we have? Let's move on to some E3 stuff. E3 hardware news. So E3 typically, for the most part, is games. It's all gaming news. But it seems a few companies, Razer being one of them, announces a lot of products there, which is good for us because we're mainly a hardware, hardware podcast. So they announced a laptop that I really want. They announced their new Razer Blade 14. And the big change, all the Razer Blades in the past have all been Intel-based. This is the first one that has an AMD Ryzen processor. So this is going to have a Ryzen 9 5900HX paired with an RTX 3080 laptop version. 16 gigabytes of DDR4, 1 terabyte PCIe. I want it. It has... Yeah, so two display options. One's a QHD IPS with 165 refresh rate, 100% DCI P3 cover coverage. The second one is full HD IPS 144. I like it. Starts at $1,799, which is pretty normal for... That's normal Razer pricing. But just though that combination, that Ryzen processor with the 3080, and I really do like the Razer blades are very, I mean, they're called the blades, so like they're very thin. I would just never use this. I don't see myself like making I would use it on the
next week. You were talking about getting an iMac, and now you're like, or a MacBook Pro, and now you're like, I would never use this. Then you probably
what I mean is I wouldn't use this to its full potential. This is a gaming laptop. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use this for gaming, so it doesn't make sense for me to pay $1,800 for a product that I wouldn't use. That's what I'm saying. But cool stuff either way. The next announcement is a funny one. So when the Xbox Series X came out, everybody said it looked like a little fridge.
Yeah.
It looked like a little fridge. And, real quick, old man is in the house. He says, sorry, I missed the beginning of the podcast. No worries, man. Good to see you here. You're here usually every week, so good to see you. So Xbox Series X, everybody said it looked like a little mini fridge. People made like memes and all this stuff, and then the head of marketing was like, if we win this Twitter poll for best brand, we'll actually make the fridge, like we'll make it so you guys can buy it. And they had their E3 press conference, and they did the Steve Jobs one more thing, and they announced this mini fridge, which I'll show you, this Xbox Series X mini fridge that looks like this. And it's going to be made available holiday season. So perfect holiday gift for your gaming friend. I think I would want one. I could put one. I could put this over here and have all my monsters.
Now
in
they
there.
Did have. They did make some big ones. I thought.
Yeah, they did because they gave them to those some influencers. Were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be like a smaller version. Okay. You know. But yeah, pretty. Well,
that's neat.
If we can. But yeah, I mean, it's going to, it's pretty cool, especially if you're like an Xbox fan. I mean, to have your Xbox, you have your Xbox sitting there, then you have the fridge right beside it and they look identical.
Yep.
Awesome for a gaming room or something like that. But yeah, that was a pretty interesting announcement from E3 for sure. You know, also the Tesla Model S Plaid delivery, I guess whenever they announce like a new model, they do a delivery event. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you know about that? I don't follow all that much
into it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they had this delivery event and they showed off the new, in-dash game console, as it's being called, their new infotainment system. And this is a pretty nice PC. They say it's PS5 level performance. It's a custom like SoC from AMD featuring a Ryzen processor and AMD Radeon graphics powered by Navi 23 RDNA 2 chip. And if you can see this picture, which is like a leaked picture, it is running Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, we would think, a Windows-based system. I don't know if each one of these cars is going to come with this controller, but that's pretty cool. These controllers look pretty awesome, kind of like a PlayStation controller a little bit, but
it's interesting. It's like connected at the bottom. Do you see that? Oh, right. Actually, you know what, I think that's a mount that it's sitting in. See how like the guy's hand is holding and there's a bar right here, like, in between the bottom? Yeah.
Oh, right here? Yeah, yeah. No.
Because if you look at the other controller up top, it's disconnected. So it's almost like it's sitting down in a...
Yeah, it might be.
Holder.
Yeah, I didn't... Yeah. But in any case, so the biggest thing, which I didn't really know because I don't follow Tesla much since I moved here to California, and like where I go shopping, where I go shopping, there's a massive Tesla charging station. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously when you're charging, depending on how long it takes, you're sitting in your car. And why not game while you're sitting in your car? Yeah. And it seems like a pretty nice piece of hardware that's going to come with this, with the car. Again, they say PS5 level performance. Now the Plaid version of the Model S is $130,000. So, it's not clear if the controllers come with it or not, or if that's an extra thing you got to buy, whatever.
So. At least one.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Seeing more like PC style tech going into automobiles. And of course, Tesla would be the company to do that.
Oh, yeah. My concern is like, just with any other PC or technology, right? We put a level of hardware in there, and software obviously progresses, right? And you like, okay, it'll run Cyberpunk, but what about in 2 years or 3 years, right? Cyberpunk 2 is out and it's got twice the graphics and all that, right?
Yeah.
It also starts to feel like slow. Oh man, it used to run everything great and now it's this. I hate to go down that route. Like, now I've got this computer in my car that I've got to worry about, you know, and I can't upgrade it. And I don't know, it almost feels like it would make the car feel older than it actually is sooner, because you get like a normal car and it's got a radio and a CD player and maybe navigation, maybe Apple or Android CarPlay, you know, things like that in it. This just feels like another addition that will degrade quicker, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. I think that there's two things to do that. First is that you could have a store or like a Tesla store for games that are optimized for that specific hardware. Sure. And then Cyberpunk optimized for Tesla, you know, would be just like you get games on multiple platforms, kind of like the same thing. You could do it that way. Or this is like something that, just like with Tesla, you can, you know, you upgrade your car's firmware like every month. on, you know, Tesla.
Take it in for a new hardware pack.
This could pull out and plug back in pretty easily, mm-hmm. you know, every couple years or whatever. Those are just ideas. Old man said it would be so embarrassing to get in a car wreck while driving a virtual car in Cyberpunk. Yeah, I don't think that you're able to access the games while you're driving. I don't think. I'm pretty sure that's how it works now, because I'm pretty sure like the infotainment system is in there now, has a lot of like multimedia and movies, like things you can do on it. So I don't believe that any of that is accessible while you're not in park. So
there's some cool games though where it like disengages the steering, like if you're parked, disengages the wheel from the actually moving the tires, so you can, it doesn't wear your tires from turning the steering wheel. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Old man also said somebody needs to mod that fridge with an Xbox Series X and use the fridge to cool the system. That would be a very cool mod. That'd be very, very cool if we would see that. What else do we have? So here is something that's up your alley, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. Aqua Computer put out a new product called Leak Shield, which basically not only detects a leak in your custom loop, but then makes it so it doesn't leak. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah. So, they have a nice video that kind of explains it, if it's hard to kind of figure out how this would work. But so this is kind of an add-on to their reservoir pump combos, and it sits on top, you know, gets power from your system, connects and uses their software suite to control it and adjust, but you can make some adjustments via the buttons and configurations on there. So let's say you either have a fitting that for some reason sprung a leak, or you've just built your system and maybe you didn't get a tube lined up correctly, whatever the case may be, something breaks inside. Typically, you know, you've got your pump and all your components there, and the pump is pushing liquid through the system. There's going to be a bit of pressure in that loop, and if you put a hole in there, right, that gives you the opportunity for liquid to either leak out slowly or spray out, depending on what component has begun to leak or break. So what this add-on does, and they show it, you know, the easiest way to do it is add it on the top of your reservoir, and it's nice because it doesn't require an Aqua Tuning or an Aqua Computer reservoir. They make an adapter, so you can put it on multiple vendors' products, which is pretty sweet. It kind of monitors the pressure of your loop and knows what the standard operating pressure is and kind of the tolerances that it has. If it detects a leak, a hole, whatever the case may be, it adds suction to the loop, right? So it kind of engages itself. So most of the time, it's not really doing anything other than monitoring. It will put a vacuum onto the loop and essentially pull air in through that hole. So instead of liquid shooting out, it's sucking air through its device, pulling air in. So you still have a flow of liquid through there, but you're adding air into your loop. And then this kind of vents out the air that it's pulling in from the hole. So, you know, you're not like pulling air into your loop and then pressurizing the system even more. It's pulling air in through that hole with more suction than the loop is providing pressure outward, if that makes sense, right? The pump is providing a certain amount of pressure. This is sucking against that to overcome that, so that you have a vacuum, essentially, and then vents the air out into your system until you can get it going. The cool thing is if it does detect that, it can send a shutdown command to your computer so you get that taken care of. AquaSuite is pretty awesome. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I've never seen this because I'm not in, but this looks pretty awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and it'll help you like fill your loop as well, and get the air out of your loop when you're first building. That's really nice. Yeah, it shows like they show there the bar, the I believe it's millibars, but that's your pressure of your loop there and your flow, like how many liters per hour. And it just kind of knows what your normal operating specs are. And once you go out of that, it kicks itself in.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet because
being the water cooling guy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Being the water cooling guy, how useful is this to somebody?
I think, I don't know. I go back and forth. It's kind of like, it's like that product where you can get the little smart water sensors to go by your water tank in your house, right? So if it sprung a leak, you could get notified on your smartphone or something like that. Yeah. I think the for the price point, it's what, 120 euros maybe?
Yeah, 120 euros for the one with the one that comes on the res itself. Mm-hmm. And then just the standalone unit is 139.
Okay. So I mean, I'm someone that did have a leak, right? My reservoir just all of a sudden was cracked along the threads at the bottom, and I noticed I had liquid seeping out, right? This is a situation where this thing would have kicked in and started suctioning so that I'm not leaking fluid. My system would have stayed on and, you know, been operational. I wouldn't have run out of coolant. Like, let's say that happened. Let's say I left my system on overnight and it slowly leaked out, maybe didn't short circuit anything, but I lost fluid in there, and then, you know, I had risk damaging components due to heat overheating. This would have kind of either kept the system on and liquid inside because it's got that vacuum going, or given Windows the opportunity to shut down and shut the system off.
Old man said it would give water cooled system builders peace of mind, and it is kind of nice. Like, I don't know the price of reservoirs, but like $120 with the res with it built in,
it's a pretty good price.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it's like, again, peace of mind, and you just pick that up. Like, you know, you're gonna pick that up.
And
so
it's got a cool screen, you know.
Yeah,
it's got lighting and all that.
So yeah,
it's pretty neat.
Pretty cool stuff. So if you
watch the video too, like it's pretty neat. They show like this tube with flow going through it, and they like pop a hole in it with a drill and it starts shooting out, and then they turn the system on and it just stops, or you know, they have it on and you poke holes in it and it just continues to operate.
That's pretty cool.
They take apart these blocks.
Maybe I'll even get into water cooling now. That'd be cool.
You don't have to be afraid, right?
Yeah, exactly. So guys, definitely check that out. On the complete opposite realm of the cooling sphere, Noctua launched finally. So I think it's been in development for like 2 years. They launched their NHP1, which is completely passively cooled CPU cooler, basically a big chunk of metal. Look at this thing.
When I first saw it, I was like, man, that's not very dense fin layout. But if it was any more dense, I don't think you'd get as good of airflow through it, right? So
yeah, you need airflow through it. They're very, I think I first saw this at maybe CES 2018. They had this, it was like a prototype at the time. They say that this cools an Intel Core i9 11900K running Prime 95 at more than 3.6 gigahertz. And it says, you know, 125 watt CPU kept in check with zero fan noise. Interesting.
It's so big.
It's massive. I'm going to have to get one of these into review, man. Let's see what it does. I remember when Zalman had the completely fanless PC where they had the case and all that. This is like, probably 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer than that. I always liked it. I thought it was cool, but I never thought it was practical. But you know, Noctua, I mean, they make some of the best CPU coolers out there. And again, I believe I saw this at CES 2019. So this has been in development for years. And if they're testing it with 11900K, which gets very hot,
yeah,
good work.
And even just a little airflow inside your chassis, maybe you don't have a fan on this directly, obviously. But if you had some, you know, intake or exhaust fans, if you just have a little bit of airflow through there, that'll help this thing a ton.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to get one of these to review just to see what it's all about. We are building a new CPU test system or CPU cooler test system here in the next few weeks. So I might get that in there. Also, a company not known for cases has come out with a new case. So G-Skill has put out their Z5i, which is Mini ITX. We've seen Mini ITX kind of cases have become kind of a new thing, especially because of the form factor. I mean, just a small little thing sitting on your desk. The biggest thing with these systems, which I can see might be a problem with this system, is cooling. It's interesting. So if we look at this picture, you can kind of see its overall design. And it has these two tempered glass kind of doors that will actually open up like this, you know, kind of like gullwing doors that kind of open up. And on one side, you have your mini ITX board with a power supply. And then on the opposite side, you can see, oh wait, let me go the other way. The opposite side, you would have your graphics card. So we would assume this would come with a riser cable so you could put your graphics card on the other side. It looks like the only cooling is essentially on the back right here. And maybe the top. I guess the top has
some passive cooling.
Yeah, but like it doesn't it doesn't look like there's any fan mounts on the bottom.
Nope.
So like most of these, it looks cool. I like the idea, but with these tempered glass panels, especially a tempered glass panel that's going to sit directly on this graphics card, you could have some issues. Now, it does look like, again, this is where all your cooling is going to go right here. It does look bigger than the H1 from NZXT. So a little bit bigger might be more not as compact, so better room for cooling. But I don't know.
No, I think it looks neat. I do like the door concept, how they open up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to be choking a GPU there more than likely.
Yeah, no word on pricing on this. But it will fit graphics cards up to 330 millimeters. It looks like the G-Skill logo lights up right there with some RGB lighting under it. And then obviously whatever you have in your system that has RGBs, you will see through the, you know, what they should have done is made this section right here like mesh.
Yeah, to get some additional flow through there.
But it might not have looked as good either, so... In any case, pretty cool new case. We haven't seen that many big case announcements, so that's kind of a newer one. And then finally, our last piece of hardware news is that we talked about capacity for GPUs. It looks like Western Digital and Seagate will be increasing production to keep up with Chia plotting or mining demands. We talked about it last week. People are buying hard drives for Chia. And like old hard, like these type of hard drives,
spinning disk,
the old school. So both Western Digital and Seagate are going to increase production capacity. It is going to be a little hard for them because both of them don't have immediate plans to build new factories. And they have contracts, just like we said with TSMC, that cover 50 to 70% of their total production. But they are seeing this massive demand now. So they're going to obviously increase production to get more drives out there and, of course, make more money. Chia mining was at 1 exabyte. Back in April. And now it's at 20 exabytes now. And I think that last week, I think we said it was at 16 and now it's at 20 or maybe it's been 18. I don't remember.
What's that?
The amount of total storage being used for Chia. Yeah. I'm pretty sure last week it was like 16. Now it's at 20 exabytes.
I was just looking at the pricing, the value of it. Just like on the last Friday, it was at almost $1,600. And now it's at $416.
Wait, it went down? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But maybe it's like the craze is over. I think I did see a story, we didn't write an article on this, but I did see a story this week where a lot of companies are putting warranties specific, like their warranty will be voided if you use it for Chia. A lot of stuff like that's coming out. I know Crucial was one. I think another company, like it's going to be a norm now. Like if you use, and
what can they tell though?
I mean, like if you
okay.
Most warranties are for terabytes written. Like the drive is only rated for so much. Yeah. You go over that, and I guess there's some way to read that. There is a way to read that. So your warranty would be voided after that specific thing. That's just kind of how that works. But yeah, Chia's thing. I haven't got into it at all. Yeah, I have a lot of drives, but I just don't see myself.
Don't want to use them for that. Yeah.
I was Bitcoin mining for a while. It's just kind of just chilling on all that stuff right now. So our last story is that because of E3, last week we saw the Battlefield 2042 reveal, which looked badass, but it was engine footage, right? It wasn't gameplay footage. So the gameplay trailer came out, and it's pretty awesome. I'm gonna go ahead and play it for you guys, so you can watch it. You and I will watch it, and then we'll get our feedback on it. Because I think everybody who hasn't seen it should watch it, and we can get our feedback on all of it.
Incoming fire!
Attention all squads. The Russian troops are falling back. Do whatever you can to secure the sector. We push them back, but not far enough. Do not let them regroup.
What did you think?
It's intense. There's a lot going on. Like, those are huge battles, right? There were so many people grouped up. I don't know that, like, that will be a true feeling of how it actually plays out, right? Depending on how big these maps are and how spread out people are. There's a lot going on. I don't know that I'm a big fan of the storm, you know, that
I kind of like, well, I like around. I like the idea. I like the idea of being in a battle, and then, you know, you have to watch out for the storm, or you'll be. Yeah. It's kind of just like Battle Royale. Like, sure, you got to get in the circle. It's kind of like the same thing. It adds a little storm element
coming in, right? Like, that feels like okay, more plausible, but it's like, oh gosh, now there's tornadoes all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's the premise of the game, and there's global warming and all this stuff going on, and that's why you have all those things. It looks pretty awesome. It's kind of cool that I guess you can on the fly change your access, like your gun accessories, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, get in the elevator. I'm excited to fly a helicopter too, though.
And it said one thing I did
fly helicopters like in Battlefield 2.
You gotta get like a whole setup with all the joysticks. One thing I did see, they did like, if you do see it, it says ever changing battlefield, and if you look like for like 2 seconds, it shows like a parking garage getting like blown up. So like, will there be areas where, environmental, like where you can basically destroy everything? And again, that was like pre-alpha footage of up to 128 players. Like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah,
so I'm excited for that.
It'll be fun.
I think we'll have to get it and do a stream.
Sure, we can do that.
I think that might be a plan. So
I'm interested to see what the system requirements are.
Yeah, and there hasn't been any, like, you notice at the beginning of that one, I mean, that's from the Battlefield YouTube, but like there's no NVIDIA,
right? Like,
I would assume like there's no, it doesn't say like, you know, a lot of them say
one's
like
based on GeForce or RTX,
but there is, I would assume this would support both. What's the AMD thing called? Something. Their ray tracing tech, whatever that's called. I assume Battlefield 5 supported ray tracing DLSS, so that I assume this is going to support that as well. Obviously from the trailers, the game looks awesome. It looks beautiful, but you know, we'll see. Yeah, we'll be interested to see what the requirements are. Comes out holiday season, perfect time to play some games for sure. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. I'm only putting one thing on the list because it depends on what I get done, just like we did last week. I will be taking a look at the ASRock Z590 Tai Chi motherboard. This is the one, I believe, that, let me see if they actually, so the gear on the IO cover actually moves.
What?
From what I've heard, it only does it every like minute or so. Like, it's not a continuous movement, which would be the cool thing. So we'll see. But again, Tai Chi brand from ASRock, you know, is really good. This is their Z590 implementation. Board looks pretty cool. I will
What's obviously that expansion look out to the side?
That's a graphics card holder deal. Yes. That is a new thing they're putting on their boards. I think it's patent pending. Yeah. ASRock graphics. Yeah. Patent pending. So that's like the new thing. I don't know how many people are actually going to use it, but we'll see. Pretty cool. So I will have that for you guys next week. And as we come to the end here, we always say, if we did anything cool, checked out any cool hardware. Have you done anything in that regard?
Hardware wise? No.
Tech wise, watch any movies?
No, man, I've been in the comic realm still. Yeah. So kind of living that life. I did notice a couple like with some Windows updates, and I don't know if you've seen this on the bottom bar, and I'm not showing it right now. The little temperature.
Yeah, we put that out on social media the day. Yeah,
I noticed that, but I don't have it today.
Right? Mine's up.
Nope, I don't have. I'll right click. And it was, I forget what it was called, but yeah, it's not there anymore. I had it for like a day, and then yesterday, and I was kind of ticked off about this. There was a pop up talking about, and I'm gonna find it here in a second. Let me what my service is. It was almost like, I didn't install this. Why is this here?
That's not good.
Kind of ticked off. It was starts with the N. Nahemic. And you remember that was like that sound company?
Yeah. What motherboard do you have?
The Crosshair 8 Hero.
It was like,
and everything I saw was like ASRock, MSI.
Yeah.
Someone else, but it like all of a sudden, you know how you get those Windows like notifications. It was talking about, oh, Nahimic and all of, you know, like, you can do this and go. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't install this. I don't want it here. Why is this on my system? And there are a lot of people that are like saying the same thing. They're like, after Windows update, this just automatically showed up.
Yeah, no. So I have that Gigabyte, the creator board that has the Nahimic audio, and it will say you like there will be a pop up, but it's from Nahimic. It's not from Windows. It's like an actual Nahimic thing that says you need to do that.
Nope. So I went into services and disabled it.
Yeah, I would too. But yeah, the new Windows, the latest version, has this thing on the taskbar that. We put it out on Twitter. Let me bring it up.
Yeah, it's interesting because it was there, and now it's gone. Talking about news and interest, yes, and it shows the temperature. Absolutely, old man. So I had it for a day or two, and now if I right click my taskbar, I do not have
Maybe it was that service that you disabled.
I doubt it.
Maybe it's part of that. Where is the?
Who's an interest not showing? Yeah, like.
Okay, so now that I just went through our entire Twitter feed,
it pops up there to see like this person's like, yeah, it popped up then disappeared.
Okay, here it is. So, oops. So yeah, it's like this little, you know, this little thing here that pops up that shows like the temperature and like what it's doing outside, and if you click on it, it will go to the weather. Type deal. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but it is instantly noticeable because I actually first noticed it on the test machine and I was like, what is this? And if you look at it, I'm looking at it and just like the text is not sharp and it's just,
the whole picture is not sharp.
No, but what I mean is like I'm looking at it on my desktop now, like. You know, and it's not very sharp. A lot of people have complained about that as well. And what's interesting is that mine initially, like I have like location services like on my computer. Like I don't really care about that, you know, like it knows where I'm at, but mine was set to Pittsburgh for some reason. And it wasn't manually set. So I had to manually set, like I even said, like if you click on it and go to the options and it's like find my location, like I click that and it said Pittsburgh. And I'm not in Pittsburgh. I'm not using a VPN. So I'm like, this is broken. So I had to like manually set mine to San Diego. So that's weird.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't even have the option to turn it on now. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure it'll pop back up again at some point.
It's like the clip guy.
Yeah, Clippy.
Yeah, it's like Clippy. It just shows up whenever. For me, I really haven't done much of anything working on reviews, using my balance board a lot. Pretty pumped about that.
I did buy six Chromecasts just at a random garage sale. We were out last weekend with the kids and like they always like to like go to garage sales and just like waste time, right? Saturday mornings and stuff. I got six Chromecasts for a quarter each. And they're like
the original?
No, newer. Like they're not.
Are they real?
They're not the 4K. Yeah, yeah. They're just like the, I don't know, second gen maybe. But I have some of the original first gen ones that are like the long stick original ones. So, and these are better. So at a quarter each, I was like, all right.
Yeah, a quarter each. I think those were originally $30 when they launched.
Yeah,
I
they're think. Like 30.
Maybe 25. So
yeah, so I got a whole tub of them here. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I was like, $2.50 for these.
Yeah, I'll take them. That's pretty crazy. So. Yeah, like I said, I've just been working on stuff. More content coming to you guys, obviously. So we are going to jump over to Twitch to play some games, get on some Apex Legends. So if you guys want to follow us over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We'll be over there. Ryan will be getting the stream up. We do appreciate it if you guys do subscribe to the podcast. So, I mean, obviously, if you're watching this on video, you're following us on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. We'd appreciate it if you subscribe if you can. If you're listening to us on audio, you can subscribe through Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on all that stuff, but we appreciate it if you guys subscribe. But we're going to get to some gaming, and we will see everybody at the normal day. I think, I'm pretty sure, on the normal day next week. So we will be podcasting next Wednesday. So we will see everybody then.